Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in John chapter 7. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Dan from Vancouver, Washington. And this song is in John chapter 4, from verses in John chapter 4 and John chapter 7. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water, rivers of living water. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever drinks of the water I shall give shall never thirst again. In him will become a fountain of living water, springing up into everlasting life. Living water, rivers of living water. With joy you will draw water from the well of salvation. Living water, rivers of living water.
Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that yesterday in John 7, 38 and 39. We are in John 7. We have one last context to read, 45 through 52.
The officers therefore came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and these said to them, "Why did not you bring him?" The officers answered, "Never man so spake." The Pharisees therefore answered them, "Are you also deceived? Has any of the rulers believed unto him, or of the Pharisees? But this crowd that knows not the law are accursed." Nicodemus says to them, "He that came unto him before, being one of them, does not the law judge a man, except it first hear from him and know what he does?" They answered and said to him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and see that out of Galilee arises no prophet."
So the officers came and expected them to haul Jesus in, you know, under arrest. And, you know, they were going, "Why didn't you bring him with you?" And they said, "No one ever spoke like this man."
And it stopped him. His words stopped him. I know, I don't think I've ever read that like that.
Living words. He's living. Jesus is alive.
And the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers believed him, or any of us Pharisees, have we believed him? And then they said the crowd didn't know anything. They didn't know the law, and they're all accursed.
Now, if you've got verse 53 in your Bible, it's not in the original Greek, by the way. I don't even know what it says because it's not in my Bible.
It's not in mine either.
Moving on. Chapter 8. There's a lot of things that are in John that are not in the parallel Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Living things, a lot of spiritual things are starting to come up now, getting ready for, because Acts is at hand. Haven't you noticed that it's a big difference?
Different tone.
Yeah, it's a totally different tone in the book of John.
Now, verse 53, Gil, in mine, in the Panon, shows up here.
In the next
See
chapter?
See if it's there. Is it show there? Okay. It shows 53, not as, and doesn't say 8:1. It just has a 53 there.
And all it says about verse that it's 8, it's the beginning of chapter 8, they went each to his own house.
Except Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And that was the point. Yeah.
And that's verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple in chapter 8. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. So all the people, they're not going to the scribes and the Pharisees. And even the rulers are going, no one ever spoke like this man, living, and it's,
you're like, wow.
It seems to be making all these ministers really mad. But we're touched by it. There's something that he's saying that's alive. What's going on here? And I'm saying that myself. So all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go from now on, sin no more." He didn't condone what she did, but he came to forgive.
Notice the old guys left first. they were humiliated.
They saw it first, apparently. Time to leave.
This isn't going to work.
Oopsie.
Right now. Oh, I didn't mention that, and I think you guys did notice that in the last context, Nicodemus jumps up again, the one that came to see him by night.
Oh, right.
And he jumped to his defense. Does not our law judge the man except it first hear him and know what he does? And then they yelled at him. But Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and he stood up for him. There he shows up for the second time in the book of John. And when Jesus talked to him, he didn't understand anything that he was saying to him, but he was defending him.
Now, there was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus. This is chapter 3. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, because he's one of the Pharisees, so he sneaks. He comes to him by night.
He doesn't want to do it in the open.
He came to Jesus by night. "Rabbi," I wonder if he had a hood on or something, a mask. "Teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I say unto you, unless one is born up, he cannot see that ideo see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. And Jesus answered the second time, Amen, amen, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born up. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, and do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Amen, amen, I say unto you. Here it is again. We speak the things of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses was lifted up, or as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That is the Nicodemus that stood up for Jesus. Sometimes you got to go back and read those things to refresh your...
Just to go, okay, his name
for, refresh that conversation that
yes,
they had.
That's good.
So he wasn't totally closed. He didn't see it. And also, we're going to see him, I think, at
the
end.
We will see him one more time.
We're not done with him yet. No. And he's going to do some things that are going to surprise you. Even a Pharisee can be soft.
Yep.
Don't you kind of get the idea he's soft there? And then he stands up for Jesus. Something's cooking in his brain. Even religious leaders.
He went to talk to him, and then he stood up for him.
Even ministers can change their mind. It's not real often. It seems like the harlots, the demon-possessed, and so on do better than ministers do.
What says not many great?
Yeah. Chapter 8, what are we reading now, 12?
12 through 20.
20, 12 through 20.
Again, therefore, Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Who follows me shall in no wise walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, Thou art witnessing of thyself. Thy witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, And even if I am witnessing of myself, my witness is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye know not whence I come, or whither I go. You judge after the flesh, I judge no one. Yea, and if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Yea, and in your law it is written, that the witness of two men is true. I am he that witnesses of myself, and the Father that sent me witnesses of me. They said therefore to him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words spake he in the treasury, while teaching in the temple, and no one took him, because his hour was not yet come.
This is something I saw in here that I haven't seen before in John. Who follows me shall in no wise walk in darkness. There's follow again. Here it is. Was it early on in John? Did we see that word?
Yeah, he said.
There it is again.
Yeah, where was that in the beginning?
It was
right here, three times. And John followed him. He's calling the two. Here is verse, it's John 1. Let's see, I don't see it before this.
In 43, he told Philip, and Jesus said, Follow me.
Yeah.
Chapter 1.
He finds Philip and Jesus.
And the two disciples heard him speak and followed Jesus. That's in 37. But where does he say? He finds his brothers.
43.
37. And they followed him. And, 43. Yes, you're right.
He said it, yeah.
This is where you see, follow me. And then I don't think I see it after that, do you? So it's at the very beginning, and here I see it again right now in 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Who follows me shall in no wise walk in darkness. Remember Jesus saying, follow me in 4:19, or come after me. And then in chapter 5, when he talks about the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, the very next thing he says, you are the salt and the light. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world here. Who follows me shall in no wise walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What stood out to you in that? You judge after the flesh, I judge no one, he says. Yea, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father who sent me. So he has true judgment because God is involved in his judgment. And that's the last part of the foundations, is that judgment.
In 19, he says, they ask him, where is your Father? And he says, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. So if you want to know the Father, you need to get to know the Son. And you can't know the Father unless you know the Logos, or the image of God, which is Jesus.
You know what's really interesting about this? This conversation takes place in the
treasury. I know, I was going to go, I'm going to say that in a minute. And I'm like, here you start. And I'm like, you're going there.
Oh, you guys are funny.
Oh, yeah, we're all over
that. You talk about being on the same
page. The words, he was in the treasury. Now, he is dead in the temple. He's getting right as close as you can get in there.
Now, what made you say that, Andy? What stands out to you when you think about that? Because we all
jumped off the page. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to say about it. I just go, he's in the treasury now, in the temple. Wait a minute.
And what did he say about them? You judge according to the flesh. Where are they? They're in the treasury.
In the treasury, judging according to the flesh.
I wonder what he's really talking about. Well, of course, he's talking about money.
Sure he is.
Things of value.
How many people can you fit in the treasury? I don't know how big it was, but
this is in Solomon's temple.
In the temple.
Yeah,
but the treasury
was. Not in the we usually draw that Moses' temple,
the tabernacle
that moved in the wilderness. And so in the treasury there was money.
Sure.
And gold and all that.
It had some size. I've never calculated the size of that building. You know what's kind of funny is I'm going to go home and look at that.
It just made me wonder, you know, because
to see how big, what is this?
Yeah,
where is he?
It couldn't be 5,000.
Can you just wander in there? I mean, how did he get?
Certain priests could go in there because they were.
Well, I mean, that's where he was, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I was wondering that.
What's he doing? And how often was he ever been in the treasury?
I don't know.
Have you ever seen this before?
I'm going like, well, how's he getting in the treasury?
What's he doing in there? Yeah.
Did you ever notice this position before in this context?
No.
Never.
I am going to take on 8, starting in verse 12, I'm going to write up above it, Jesus is in the treasury. This is my other Bible.
Yeah.
In the temple treasury. And I don't know why I'm going to write that, because I've never seen that before, looking at it from that angle. Money gets into some people's view and it really skews it. You know, like we've personally seen a family fighting over an individual that's worth some money, and fighting over that money, and it's really messed them up. They're not even seeing straight. The ones I see care nothing about this individual's life. As a matter of fact, I think they'd rather see this person not living so they could get their inheritance faster. And so their judgment is totally skewed. And there is, the word judgment is in here, and they're in the treasury. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And they're in the treasury when he says that. It's not how much money people have or whatever. He's not. I just never seen it this way before. I don't know why that stood out to me.
I never pictured Jesus in Solomon's temple, ever.
In the treasury.
I never even thought about it.
Have you pictured him more like in Moses' temple? Is that the way you think about it or what?
I just never really thought about it.
We thought it more with a simpler temple.
Well, he's a synagogue.
Yeah.
He's up on a hill.
Right.
He's over here. He's over there. And he was at the temple.
And he taught.
And he was at the temple. But now he goes, no, he's in the treasury.
Now, but when you teach, you're not teaching in the treasury.
No. that's why it's...
You're probably in the outer court where anybody could be. You can't be in the holy place or the holy of holy. I'll bet you he's got to be in the outer court if he's teaching people. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, only certain priests can go into certain places.
That's what I was thinking. What's he doing in there? And who else is in there?
I think he's got to be in the outer court area. And here he says, he's in the temple, he's out of the temple. This is the funniest thing I ever thought of, because all of a sudden, what? Why does it say this?
It's where he was.
and look what he's talking about. He's talking about judgment.
Yes.
In his father, in his relationship with the father.
And God had certain rules that, you know, were given as to what to do with the treasury, and that people have to believe that he is the I am and so on. But it just struck me as interesting. I don't remember that being said before.
Well, I was just wondering why that word was there.
Well, if there's anything that messes...
That's a word I've never seen on the page right there. I stared at it. I kept staring, and you started, and I went, are you going to go there?
Well, you know what we do, Andy.
I wanted to get it out quick enough to where you go, well, what? Are you going to say this? Yes. Dan, to all three of
you
us.
You know what? It's in the Panons. These words he spoke while in the treasury, while teaching in the temple.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading out of. That's
now, what he said it in the treasury while teaching in the temple. What? That is really odd. He chose that for, and I've never seen that one before. And no one took him because his hour was not yet.
Well, what about if he was teaching in the temple and then he just walked on over to the treasury and started talking to these guys? I mean, I don't know. See, I just know he's in the treasury.
Is he in there and other people, only the priests are able to go into the treasury? So the Pharisees said to him, I don't see the crowds. That would be interesting to go back and look at this.
He was talking to Pharisees.
I don't want to go over this. We can come back here and look at this again when we understand it a little bit more. But these are kind of those funny things that you're going like, what in the world is that?
Well, he says he's the light of the world, and the light just turned on about the treasury.
Well, here, he's still talking to him. We can read the next context.
No, we can't.
Why not?
Because I don't want to.
Okay.
I thought I'd do a little Smothers Brothers song. Okay. 21 through 29.
He said, therefore, again to them, I go, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Whether I go, you cannot come. The Jews therefore said, will he kill himself, that he saith, whether I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are of the beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins, for except ye believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. They said therefore to him, who art thou? Jesus said to them, even what I also speak to you from the beginning, I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but who sent me is true, and the things I heard from him, these speak I unto the world. They perceived not that he spake to them of the Father. Jesus therefore said, when ye shall lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and I do nothing of myself, but even as my Father taught me, these I speak. And he who sent me is with me, he has not left me alone, for I do always the things pleasing to him. And he spake these things, many believed unto him.
This is at least the second time, maybe the third, where he's telling them in verse 21, I go away and you will seek me and you die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. He mentioned that before in one of the previous contexts. They can't come where he's going.
And unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Then you will know that I am when you see the Son of Man lifted up. So what were you going to say, Dan?
Oh, in 36, he said exactly the same thing in John 7:36. You will seek me and will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come.
The I am is speaking. Jesus is the I am. We must believe he is the I am, same as in Exodus 3:14.
He's pretty much telling them where they're from. He said, you are from below. That's a pretty straight line.
This is the one thing that we have noticed about the Bible, that it is both to be read, but also to be sung, and especially being sung, you find like an onion, you take off one layer, there's another layer underneath, and another layer, and another layer, and the Bible, the Jews know there are 40 layers to the Bible, but we think there's actually more. It might be a lot more. And this is Romans 14, 17.
The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God, is acceptable to God, and approved, amen, is acceptable to God, and approved, amen. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and joy. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and joy. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit.
Now, that was Romans 14, 17, 18, and 19, but we're going to do 17 again and the Spanish version of it.
The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Porque el reino de Dios no es comida ni bebida, sino justicia y paz y gozo en el Espíritu Santo. Porque el reino de Dios no es comida ni bebida, sino justicia y paz y gozo en el Espíritu Santo. Gozo y paz y justicia in el Espíritu Santo.
Until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com, or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.